Biden's so-called revolution there, the American-backed coup, and the NED-backed coup that took place a few months later in February of 2014. And Gershman wrote here at the end of the article, Russians too face a choice, and Putin may find himself on the losing end, not just in the near abroad, but within Russia itself. And I guess I wonder, I mean, it's crazy, and you can see, I mean, what do you think the Russians thought of that on the eve of this coup in Ukraine? But then, so also, you know, it does raise the obvious question about whether the CIA and or the NED and these groups really are messing around inside Russia and trying to foment problems inside Russia, because it sort of seems like, hey, that's a bridge too far, right? But well, maybe, I guess it's not.
Well, the NED and some of their affiliates have funded a lot of programs in Russia, which were very critical of Putin. And there's a lot of good reason to criticize Putin. I mean, he's done a lot of odious things, but that doesn't justify the U.S. to try to topple him. There was an op-ed. Carl Gershman is beloved by the Washington Post editorial page. He had an op-ed in October 2016, which he basically called for the ouster, for the U.S. to help oust Putin. This is where it becomes interesting that, to claim that this national endowment is private, non-governmental, but everybody knows that Carl Gershman is tied in, that he's basically a government front group. It's openly funded by the government, and here he is calling shortly before the 2016 election for the U.S. to help oust Putin. It's like, you know, this is a loose cannon at best, and it's understandable that with things like this, there would be intense distrust of U.S. foreign policy.
All right, you guys, here's who supports this show. First of all, the great Mike Swanson. He wrote this incredible book called The War State, about the rise of the permanent military-industrial complex and the new right after World War II. It's a really important history. I think you'll really like it. It's The War State. It's on Amazon.com and thewarstate.com. And also, he gives great investment advice, if you have any money to invest, at wallstreetwindow.com. Wallstreetwindow.com for all the financial news and the great advice from Mike Swanson. And when you follow his advice, I know he recommends that you keep at least some of your savings in metals. And what you'll want to do then is go to Roberts and Roberts Brokerage Inc. That's RRBI.co, RRBI.co, and platinum, palladium, gold, and silver, of course, as well. They take the slightest commission and provide great service. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there is no service fee at all. That's RRBI.co for all your precious metals. And then, of course, Zencash. It's a new digital currency, but it's also an encrypted messaging app and file transfer app. And you can learn all about it at zensystem.io. That's zensystem.io for Zencash. And then libertystickers.com. We've got a brand new website. In fact, just don't even go to the current website. Wait like 15 minutes and then go. We've got a brand new website going up there for libertystickers.com. It'll be up sometime next week. And I finally got Illustrator again, so we're going to be getting some new stickers up there. Lots of good anti-government propaganda for you there at libertystickers.com. And listen, if you want a new website, a 2018 model website, you got to keep up with the times for your business or whatever it is you're doing. What you do is go to expanddesigns.com/Scott and you'll save $500. Now, I mean, okay, I get it that the guys in D.C. would prefer to have Yeltsin back, except he's dead and that ship sailed and Putin just basically ran with, you know, against virtually no opposition and was reelected to another 6-year term as dear leader over there. And so it doesn't seem like they could really do anything about that. And after all, as bad as Putin is, which he is, isn't he basically sort of a center-right conservative as opposed to a right-wing radical or whatever the hell? And I know Russian politics aren't an exact analogy to American ones and this and that, but, you know, aren't there a lot of people to the right of Putin who are a lot more dangerous than Putin? And how could the Americans think that they could really control what's going to happen in that country at this point? I mean, they got away with bloody murder, I guess, in their support of Yeltsin back in the 90s. But they can't really think that they can replicate that. Not after the 20-year reign of Putin, right?
Well, you know, as I was saying, there's a lot of things that Putin has done that made me cringe. And if I was Russian, I would strongly and actively oppose. But you know, he's a mixed bag on a lot of issues. But we don't have the right to dictate who rules Russia. That's what it comes down to. And with the head, with the chief, the president for life, this National Endowment for Democracy, writing in the Washington Post, calling for the U.S. to help oust Putin, effectively, that's what he was saying. It's like, well, what gave us the right? But this is the same mindset that's permeated U.S. foreign policy off and on since World War II. There are at least 80 times the U.S. government has intervened in foreign elections, most of the time covertly. And, you know, we don't have any such right to do that. I mean, there's a lot of good. It's great that that people have a right to vote for who has power over them. It's more important to have that power severely limited. But the whole idea that the U.S. has a right to intervene, it's incredibly arrogant, and very often it's done very foolishly and swagger. And you've got a lot of people pulling strings and. You know, we often don't know who's pulling those strings.
Yeah. Well, look, they support the moderate rebels in Syria, and we get Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They support the moderate rebels in Ukraine. We get the Azov Battalion and the Social Nationalist Party. I love that one. And so, yeah, I mean, never even mind their right to do it. Can you imagine them really getting a coup in Russia that works out the way they want it, assuming they could even get a coup or get whatever pressure to force Putin out, that whoever replaces him would then be under their control and would have control of Russia and America's interests from now on? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, it's crazy, but if you read the Washington Post editorial page, there, you know, it's so pro-intervention. If you look at the kind of people who they brought in as columnists, people like Josh Rogan, Max Boot is their latest addition. They have a number of other warmongers there. And it's, you know, there are some very good reporters at the Washington Post, but the editorial page has been so bellicose for so long. And it simply takes it as self-evident that the U.S. government has a right to intervene practically everywhere, and they don't pay attention to the batting average, because so many of these interventions have been complete debacles. But you wouldn't know that from reading the Washington Post editorial page.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And I guess you seem to be implying that there's a certain segment, maybe most of D.C., that pretty much just reads the Post, and that's all they know.
Well, I mean, it's I don't know how much that they read, period, at this point. I mean, people's reading habits have gotten a lot worse, I think, in the last 25 years. People have gotten the habit of gliding over articles instead of actually reading them and absorbing them. I mean, lots of individuals still do that, but it's a frustration I have in general, is that there is so many people in D.C. simply ignore the U.S. government debacles, the debacles at home here, a lot of the government programs, and a lot of the fiascos abroad. I mean, you'd mentioned Syria. I mean, a year or two ago, we had, it was U.S. policy was such a mess that you had Pentagon-backed Syrian rebels who were fighting CIA-backed Syrian rebels. And the U.S. government, there was a piece I did for USA Today about a year ago. I said one of the things Trump should do when he comes into office is open the files. And one of the things we should see the files on is Syria, because what did the government know? What did the U.S. government know? When did it know it as far as when it was jumping into this mess and backing all these different factions? And, oh, some of them are kind of like Al-Qaeda, but they're anti-Assad, so we'll pretend that they're good guys this week. I mean, I'm sure that there were some CIA analysts who called it very early and very clearly and said, look, this is nuts. What the heck are we doing? These are horrendous, dangerous folks. Why are we arming them? Why are we bankrolling them? And if we could see those memos, see those files, it would have a wonderful effect as far as waking up more people on the follies of U.S. government foreign interventions.
Yeah. Well, we have one good one that DIA memo from 2012. And it's funny, you know, I published an article. There's a guy named William Waganen who's been writing some articles about Syria for the Institute site. And he went back and found that it was, I think, the same day or the same week or something of that 2012 DIA memo was an interview that I did with Flint Leverett from Bush's National Security Council. We were talking all about this and basically predicting the exact same thing, that support for the Sunni-based insurgency led by al-Qaeda in Syria is risking the future of all of Western Iraq, which could fall into their hands, is radicalizing the insurgency and reigniting the Sunni-based insurgency against the Baghdad government there. And this could lead to a nightmare. And that was the same thing that was going into their memo right then. But yeah, you're right. That was just one from DIA. The CIA must have an entire file cabinet full of, okay, here's for more money for al-Qaeda in Syria. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are some very smart people that work there, and some that have paid very good attention, and I think that they would have laid out, if we do this, then this and this and this bad thing is going to happen. But the U.S. media has, in general, not shown a lot of curiosity in that. They've spent a lot more time cheerleading for the various Syrian rebel groups as if they're going to bring peace and democracy to Damascus. It's like, ain't going to happen, folks. It's a mess there. It's going to be a mess. We made it a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you look at it right now, you mentioned about America backing both different sides. You have the al-Qaeda guys are joining up with the Turks to fight against our NATO allies, the Turks, to fight against the Kurds, who the Americans are embedded with in the SDF, and yet former ISIS guys are now joining the SDF with the Kurds, at least some, I don't know how many, to fight against the Turks and the al-Qaeda guys. And anyway, man, sounds like maybe Carl Gershman ought to go in there and give these people democracy so they can just vote all these differences away instead of fighting, Jim.
Well, we don't have a magic wand, and that's part of why I'm very critical of U.S. democracy promotion efforts, because there's often a tacit presumption that the U.S. has a Midas touch, and that all the U.S. government needs to do is throw some money and designate, well, let's help these people, and let's give aid to that group, and all of a sudden there'll be, a Bill of Rights, free press, freedom of speech, so on and so forth, and I'm all in favor of foreign people having, of foreign governments respecting the natural rights, the individual rights of people living abroad. But we've been trying to do this for a long time. We've screwed up massively. We should throw in the towel.
Yeah. Well, and, the counterfactual is so obvious, too, that if the United States just practiced what they preached about self-evident truths and Bill of Rights, this and that, that would really be a much better way if their agenda really was, individual freedom and self-government for all of mankind for the future. That would obviously be a much better way to spread by selling it, by showing by example how it's done when you set your prisoners free.
Yes, and something that's probably had far more effect abroad than all of our democracy promotion for the last 15 years is the U.S. Secret torture regime. I mean, after 9/11, George W. and his wizards decided to set up a worldwide torture regime, which we lied about, which the U.S. government lied about for many years. And now you've got Donald Trump proposing one of the key people in that torture regime to be head of the CIA. This sends a louder and a more effective message than all of our claptrap about, Human Rights Day, this, that, and the other. Human Rights Day except for torture. That's a hell of an asterisk.
Yeah, exactly. John Kiriakou said, hey, you think it's a coincidence that these guys in the beheading videos are wearing orange jumpsuits,
Yep, yep. He's someone who's, I have so much admiration for his courage and his speaking out, and he seemed like a really nice guy.
Yeah. Well, I just interviewed him, so you can listen to that probably in a couple days when it's up.
Well, I had a chance to drink a beer with him. You missed it, but that's okay. Next time you catch a beer with him.
Next time. All right.
Next time.
Listen, Jim, I'm sorry I'm late. I got Mark Perry on about somebody on Twitter wrote,
whatever.
At Rex. You guys can use that as a headline if you want.
Okay. Sounds good.
Get it? Tyrant Sore at Rex. Rex Tillerson. Yeah, the cutter thing. Anyway, I ruined the punchline. Hey, Tell you what, I'll interview you again another time if you'll come on the show.
Thanks so much, Scott, and best of luck with the book. I hope it keeps selling like hotcakes.
Hey, thanks very much, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, you guys, that's Jim Bovard, and here's the books that he wrote. Freedom in Chains, Lost Rights, Freedom Frauds, Hard Lessons in American Liberty. That's the most recent. And his memoirs are Public Policy Hooligan, which you'll love. They're really great. And then my favorite, it's such a great book, Attention Deficit Democracy. And yeah, he knows about democracy and this and that. It's just a damn title. All right. And then check out this article. It's Time for the U.S. to End Democracy Promotion Flim Flams. At the Hill, and you can find it at antiwar.com as well. Thanks, guys. You know the websites. Fool's Errand. Buy the book. Bye. Hey, y'all. Next Saturday, I'm giving a speech to the Libertarian Party of New Jersey State Convention. And this is at the University Inn on the campus of Rutgers University in New Brunswick. And so I'm not exactly sure what time I go on, but it's in the afternoon of next Saturday, March the 24th, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, there at Rutgers University. So check it all out at njlp.org.